Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after the hour, and this is Friday, May 28th, 2020. COVID-19, there have been so many side effects from COVID-19, both physical and psychological. And we're going to focus on the psychological, and maybe this is affecting you and your family. In the last year, there has been a sharp uptick in cases of anxiety and depression. In just a couple of moments, a familiar voice to you here on Morning Air, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti joins us to talk about what you can do if you're experiencing those symptoms. Monsignor is a licensed psychologist. Plus, there's some new information about how the pandemic has affected the mental health of priests at the parish level. Also in this hour, meet the brand new host of Morning Air. My last broadcast is today. Going to meet John Morales, a great voice, a great Catholic man who's going to guide you with the Holy Spirit into the future. Have an opportunity to meet him. And of course, in this hour, we'll be praying for you just ahead of going into the Adoration Chapel, taking your prayer intentions. And Glenn's got a fresh story corner. It's a busy hour on this Friday morning that we begin in prayer. And we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Five after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. One of the surprising side effects of COVID-19, and perhaps it's something that affected you and you're saying, wait a minute, where did this come from, is the uptick in anxiety and just different mental health symptoms, how COVID-19 has affected our mental health. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti has seen it as a licensed psychologist. He joins us live from Washington, where he is an associate professor of the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University of America, the chaplain for the Washington Nationals, and as we said, a licensed psychologist. Monsignor, good morning. Welcome back to Morning Air.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
Why the uptick in anxiety? Is it just a function of the fact that we've just been sequestered in our homes for so long? Is that it? And the lack of connection with other human beings?
Well, certainly isolation makes everything worse for people. And COVID-19 has been, you know, really a very isolating event. And of course, there's a lot of fear involved too. So you mix that cocktail of fear and isolation, plus the trauma. People have lost loved ones, may themselves have been sick, the loss of jobs. So you add the isolation and fear, and there's going to be a natural reaction to people. And typically, the first thing that happens is anxiety and depression, and we're seeing those numbers rise rapidly.
And the double-edged sword of turning to radio and television to get information, not only from elected officials, but from medical professionals at the same time, their business plan is selling you fear.
Yes, and so you see the worst on television. My mother, God rest her, she used to always say, I'd call my mom and say, Mom, what are you doing? She said, I'm watching the bad news on TV. You know, because that's what sells, and you see the worst. So for over a year, we've been seeing these horrible images, and they are real images of of disaster and tragedy, and so it's right in our homes, and we fear that happened. And it's reality. So I think people are traumatized. I mean, that's the right word. There's a certain post-traumatic experience now that people are experiencing type of anxiety, depression, and flashbacks. And I think the images of COVID-19 will be with us for many years.
And understanding how we're wired as emotional human beings, Monsignor Rossetti, doesn't this also speak to how we need to ramp up to physically get back into church, physically receive the sacraments again, because we're talking about fissures in hope and faith as Catholic men and women? And they're being filled by the evil one, by fear and anxiety.
Well, this has been a larger trend than simply COVID-19, that there's what we call a reduced number of social capital, that people are not gathering in groups anymore, not just church, But all sorts of organizations, PTAs, all those sorts of things, they're declining what we call social capital. People not gathering in communities, or they're looking on their cell phones or watching TV, and that's where their faces are, burying their phones, burying their TVs. And so the isolation, and the young people are the ones who are really being affected by this, because we older people grew up with more social interaction. Mm-hmm. But now these young people are growing up with this, and so are they really developing a network of close friendships and support? And this is something which is deeply concerning.
So you believe, as a mental health professional with a younger generation that is connected to mobile devices and not so much interpersonal communication, that you will continue to see, when there's ever a little bump in the road, you'll continue to see this uptick in anxiety and depression because of the lack of human connection.
Yes, but there are always, I mean, this has been a traumatic thing. Remember after 9/11, some people are still suffering.
Right.
The effects.
But we really came together as a society after 9/11, and that same cohesion doesn't seem to be here as a result of COVID-19, perhaps because it was politicized too much.
Well, one nice thing I'm starting to see, like last night, for example, I was with one of my first gathering of priests. There was a birthday dinner for four priests, and so we had a little gathering, and everyone was just, there was a nice spirit among the priests, and I think so we're going to see these little glimpses of hope and a feeling that, maybe things are going to be okay, that we'll have these connections with our friends now and our family members, and grandparents can hug their grandchildren. So I think there, when we start to experience again what that human connection feels like and how supportive and warm and loving it is, I think they'll be very healing for people.
Monsignor, it's been joked, but some truth to it, that it's been a great time for introverts, those that like to hunker down at home and maybe not interact too much in person. Is this going to be a bigger shock than we realize, just for people who've been around for a while but still maybe prefer the company of a very select few?
Well, there are different levels of need of connection, people, and not one is not better than another. Some people just need a small group of friends, four or five people they're very close to, and that's what nourishes them. Other people are these massive extroverts. And that's actually, we see that too with popes. John Paul II was a massive extrovert. When he would go from one room to the next, they said they had people lining the hallways in the Vatican from shaking hands. He was energized by this. Pope Benedict, on the other hand, is a bit of an introvert. He likes his piano and his cat, and he's a quiet, prayerful guy. And so he's an introvert. And there's different strokes for different folks, as you say. I'm a little bit of an introvert myself. And so, there's been some positive elements to COVID. And I think some people are saying, do I really want to go back to this frenetic life I had before?
I'm an introvert, too. I'll bring my cat over. You can play the piano. That'll be our Friday night. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti is with us. And we're really talking about a serious topic, and it's something that perhaps you have felt in your family. And one of the results, one of the side effects of COVID-19 has been an increase in anxiety and depression. Have you felt that? Has it affected you or a member of your family? Our number for Monsignor Rossetti, a licensed psychologist, is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Perhaps you or a member of your family has experienced this anxiety, this depression, and maybe you're going through it right now. We can give you some help at 888-914-9149. Monsignor, you also have some, you've been talking to priests as well, and while the priests, our parish priests, have really done a remarkable job shepherding us through the COVID-19 pandemic, anxiety and depression has affected them as well.
Yes, I'm doing a large-scale study right now of priests around the USA. Right now, I've got 1,295 priest surveys in our data bank, and we're getting more. And I've run some of the initial numbers, and here's what I found, that I asked the question, has COVID-19 pandemic been traumatic for you personally? And what I got was 4% strongly agreed, 31% agreed. So you got 35%, one-third of priests will say that the pandemic for them personally has been traumatic, which is a large number. And I'm telling dioceses that you don't underestimate this, that one-third of our priests are saying that, you know, COVID-19 has been traumatic for me, and just like the people. So it's not a small number.
So what do you do? What is their, I don't want to say release, but what do they do? Because we look to them to shepherd us. We look to them for leadership. And in many cases, right, they're living by themselves. So what are the avenues available to them?
Well, the first thing, as any good psychologist will say, is communication. We gather priests and groups. I'm going to a diocese next week, and we're going to talk about this. So we're going to talk about the priest sharing what their own experience has been like personally, and then we're going to talk about what it's been like for them as parish priests and shepherding the people. So both personally and ministerially, and then we'll talk about, you know, what can we do? What can we do to help ourselves? What can we do to help our people? So I think the first thing is talk about it, get a consensus of what the issues are, and then develop an action plan.
You know, we talk about things that we can kind of do personally as far as our social interactions a little bit too, but still thinking about the economic fallout from the great shutdowns. I've got a friend who lost a restaurant and was very bitter about having to deal with the various closures and different rules to try and hang on for a while. Other whole industries, even like radio. Now, Relevant Radio has been blessed to hang in there through COVID, but radio and TV have taken quite a hit through the midst of all of this. Any tips for those who have lost jobs or even, you know, the industry they work in has been crippled?
Well, that's terrible, and most of us probably have not been that financially impacted, but many people have been, and the government has been, I think, trying to assist them financially, but that won't last forever. I think what we're going to find is when we come out of this, there will be some permanent changes in people's behavior and in the economy, and so it's going to be a painful transition for people. So people have to be retrained and find different jobs for people. I'm talking to a person right now who was working with the airlines. And now she's trying to find a different job because she can't get rehired. So, you know, it's just a painful transition. And, you know, I feel bad for these people. It's just been, and not to mention the people who have lost loved ones. It's been a terrible trauma.
For that woman that you were talking about who lost her job in the airline industry, and for those who are affected, their employment was infected, Monsignor Rossetti, because of COVID-19, how do you get them beyond pointing blame and to look inside for some self-sufficiency and to use the gifts and the talents that God has given them to move their lives forward?
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. There's a phrase we call post-traumatic growth. So post-traumatic growth. But consistently, sure, I mean, a trauma affects people and many negative ways. But there are a lot of people on the other side of the trauma are actually stronger because of it. They feel like, I can do this. They weather the difficulties, and they come out stronger because of it. And so I think we need to help. People naturally move towards health. So when we support them, we encourage them, when we gather together, and that people naturally move towards health. And so, if anything, we need to be supportive of each other. Do you know someone who is struggling? Can you be a support for them and have them think about ways to move forward? So I would say let's try to mobilize those natural internal resources that people have to move towards health and growth.
Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, our guest this morning here on Morning Air. He's an associate professor at the School of Theology and Religious Studies at Catholic University in Washington, D.C. And Monsignor is also a licensed psychologist. And we're talking about the anxiety and the depression that have been side effects of COVID-19. And perhaps you're experiencing that. 888-914-9149. We can give you some help this morning on the radio at 888-914-9149. A basic question here, the difference between anxiety and depression.
The basic symptoms are different. For example, in depression, there's a variety of different kinds of symptoms. There's some mental symptoms where you feel bad about yourself. you feel like there's no hope for you in your life. So there's this negative mental thinking. And then there's oftentimes the physical symptoms where you have no energy, you feel down, you can't, you know, you you just can't get going, and things seem dark and hopeless. So that's that sort of debilitating feeling. So it's kind of like dragging around a wet blanket. And it's very distressing. And if you've never actually been depressed, you don't realize how painful in many ways it can be and really debilitating. Because all the people do, when you're depressed, all you feel like doing is sit in the corner of your room, turning down the lights, and talking to nobody. But that's the worst thing to do, of course. Anxiety, on the other hand, is you know, you get tense, you hyperventilate, your mind can race, and you just get really nervous and tense, and maybe you breathe quickly, and right. your mind moves, and you catastrophize. Typically, it's going to be a disaster. Things are going to fall apart, and it's going to be awful. But in many ways, they're actually flip sides of the same thing. It's this neurotic reaction to a negative stimuli. So in many ways, and people can be ironically depressed and anxious at the same time, which sounds kind of strange, but it actually happens all the time.
Monsignor, you were talking about the result of COVID-19, the anxiety and the depression and the need to talk to somebody about it is to develop an action plan. COVID-19 has affected so many of us that chances are perhaps the person that you would go to talk about this has also been affected. So what are the challenges there in finding someone who can truly help you as opposed to just commiserate where you are?
Right. Well, right, you want connections to people. I think when people gather and they start talking and supporting each other, I think that for most people, there is this natural positive engagement that it really just like last night, I was with a priest. It just being with the guys was very kind of a warm feeling, and I think it just made people feel better. And I kind of walked out saying, yeah, this is what this feels like. I'd almost forgotten, you know, after a year of not gathering in groups of priests, that it was just a nice thing. And I think when people start gathering with their loved ones and family members, they'll start to feel that again. Now, there are some people who are isolated, and so they need to build a network of friends. But the thing I would say to everyone is this, is, you know, I worked for years with priests with psychological problems. That was really my ministry for, you know, 25, 30 years. And you know, sometimes you take guys, I said, one priest, I said, you know, do you have any friends? He said, I said, no. He says, no one wants to be my friend. I said, what? He said, no one wants to be my friend. I said, that's the devil talking in your ear. You know, that there are people out there who would be glad to be your friend. And so I say that to everybody. You know, some people feel like they're not lovable or no one wants, and that's not true. And there are people out there who would love to be your friend. So I'd say reach out and invite people to do things. That's why I tell priests, I say, look, if you feel isolated, call another priest. Invite him out to dinner or something and reach out. And you might be surprised at the positive response.
Have you found, you were talking, Monsignor Rossetti, about getting together with a group of priests for the first time in a long time. And I think we've all had that experience now as masks come off and more of the country reopens, that you almost have to relearn social skills in person.
Yeah, I think you have to work at it. I mean, there is this sort of lethargy, you know, that you kind of, you're used to sticking in your, staying in your homes, which is fine. But then you kind of push yourself a little bit, you know. I got a number of friends who have been vaccinated and they're reducing the restrictions, but they still are very reticent. They just say, you know, we just don't feel comfortable yet, which is fine. But eventually, I think we need to push ourselves just a little bit, not too much as I talked about last time, but push ourselves just a little bit to engage other people. So maybe be a little uncomfortable, but try to reconnect with people. And I think when we experience the positive effect of that, it'll be reinforcing and a good thing.
Monsignor, talking with a few priests who are just really kind of getting worn down by getting it from all sides as we kind of transition out of COVID restrictions and gradually things opening up. But that gradual process has gotten many parishioners either a little fearful that things are moving too quickly or a little impatient that things aren't moving quickly enough. Maybe we just need to realize and have some grace for our pastoral leaders for what they might be going through we're not aware of.
Well, everyone's different. I mean, it's really highlighted how different people react to things. For example, we know there's a whole bunch of people say, we think the whole thing's been overblown. The whole COVID-19 overblown, we're overreacting. And then there's a whole group saying, no, we're underreacting, and we're not being careful enough. And I've got friends all over that spectrum. And so I think what we try to do is be sensitive to that. So when it comes back to Mass, I mean, I think many bishops are saying, okay, let's, you know, we're starting to ask people to come back to church. And but if there are some people who just don't feel able to, or high risk group, or you know, you've got to respect that. So I think we have to respect where people are at, encourage them, support them, but also not force people because it doesn't work.
How do you empower someone? One of the blessings that's come out of the cross of COVID-19 is the power that we all have of discernment, of using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to figure out where we're going next. How do you communicate to someone that they have those gifts and they can use the information that they have gotten and apply it to themselves and that they're in charge?
Right. Well, Second Vatican Council recognized the importance of one's conscience.
Right.
And following one's conscience, you know, that while we have truths that we preach and teach, at the same time, people have to follow their conscience. And faith is really a journey. So we don't expect people to arrive at the end point tomorrow.
Right.
So we have to respect people's consciences, and we have to help them form them, though, properly. And so we teach, we preach, but also people have to pray, and they have to be open to the Lord truly speaking in their hearts. And that's why sometimes it's great to have a spiritual director, because all of us can go off the rails a little bit. You know, I mean, it's very important to have spiritual directors if you can.
Sure.
There's a limited number, but to have some sort of a wise guide to help you discern what the Lord's saying to you and speaking to you. You know, and the question comes now is the Lord asking to go back to church now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that for many people, the answer is yes, but some are a little hesitant, and I understand that.
Monsignor Stephen Rossetti is an associate professor of the School of Theology and Religious Studies at the Catholic University of America, also a licensed psychologist, and we're hopeful that we've given you some solutions if you feel that little tinge of anxiety, or perhaps it's even gotten to depression in you or a member of your family as a result of COVID-19. Monsignor, thank you for your wisdom as always. God bless.
John and Glenn, God bless you both. And John, Godspeed on your new journey.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti from Washington, D.C. And by the way, a start for spiritual direction is every day at noon Central on The Inner Life with Josh Raymond. Every day, there's another priest giving you spiritual direction, and that will happen again today. Coming up next, meet the brand new host of Morning Air. Plus, we'll take your prayer intentions just ahead of going into the Adoration Chapel. That's all coming up here on Morning Air right after we hear today's gospel reading, where Jesus cleanses the temple. It's from the 11th chapter of Mark on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 11, verses 11 through 26. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything and, since it was already late, went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went over to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, but you have made it a den of thieves? The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it, and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him, because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Jesus said to them in reply, Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Pray the rosary? If you haven't experienced the family rosary across America yet, here's what you missed the other night.
Hi, Milwaukee.
How you doing, buddy?
I want to pray for my dogs and my family.
For your dog and your family. Is your dog okay?
Yeah.
I wish I were your dog. You'd be praying for me.
The most meaningful and joyful half hour of prayer you could imagine.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky.
7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here. As a member of a religious order, the Jesuits, I'm not allowed to have private property. Everything I have and use ultimately belongs to the community. And most of our communities don't have pet dogs because of the care they require. But some years ago, one of our high school communities had a St. Bernard dog named Bubba. This famous breed of dog was named after St. Bernard of Menthon on the border between France and Switzerland. He was born around the year 1000. And as a boy, he loved to hike the mountains. In time, he became a priest who trekked all over the Alps, preaching to the mountain people. In the territory he covered, there were two mountain passes which pilgrims from France and Germany used to get to Rome. They were treacherous, and especially in the spring as the snow melted, many pilgrims were lost or killed in avalanches. Bernard created a monastery with a hospice for travelers at 8,100 feet, and another at 7,076 feet, now known as Great and Little St. Bernard Passes. He died at the age of 81, and in 1923, Pope Pius XI, who, like St. John Paul II, was an avid mountain climber, named St. Bernard the patron saint of mountaineers. In time, the monks who served those two passes in the Alps developed a breed of large dogs and trained them to rescue lost travelers. The most famous of these dogs, named Barry, died at the age of 14 in the year 1814, having rescued more than 40 travelers. In the late 1800s, these dogs were named after St. Bernard of Menthon, and today some of them still live at the monasteries, though helicopters are now used to rescue lost hikers and skiers.
Did you know that there's lots of different ways to support the mission of Relevant Radio? Besides a cash gift or pledge, we can accept gifts of stock and gifts from IRAs. Today, it's easier than ever to do. If you'd like more information on all the ways you can support our mission, go to relevantradio.com and click on the support tab. Or call 877-291-0123. Your contribution by any method will help bring Christ to the world through the media on Relevant Radio. Thank you.
28 before, good morning. It's John and Glenn, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take your prayer intentions just ahead of going into the Adoration Chapel, 888-914-9149 to be first up with that. And Glenn's got a fresh story corner, but first I want to introduce you to a brand new voice who's also a veteran voice on Relevant Radio because he was one of the first voices ever heard when something brand new called Relevant Radio and Morning Air came to the air some 18 years ago. And that familiar voice is going to be back with you next Tuesday morning in the brand new incarnation of Morning Air. We always move forward with the Holy Spirit's guidance and inspiration. John Morales is an award-winning bilingual journalist who's got extensive experience in radio and television and film. We have had him as a guest here on Morning Air as a pro-life champion, and I want you to get to know the brand new host of Morning Air starting next Tuesday morning. John's joining us live from Chicago. Hey, John!
Good morning, John. What a joy it is to be with you once again and to be with my old buddy Glenn as well.
Yeah, Glenn, do you have an accordion? You want to play something on the accordion for John? No, wait a minute. We want him to show up for work on Monday. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. There you go. But as I said, you were part of the original Morning Air show 18 years ago.
I was. And, you know, John, before I talk about my history with Relevant Radio going back to the early days, I just want to take a moment from the bottom of my heart to say thank you. Thank you for all the lives that you've touched over the last 7+ years. Thank you for an outstanding job of bringing Christ to the Relevant Radio family every single morning with your incredible dedication here on Morning Air. And I just want you to know that over all these years, in fact, since you've been the host, I've been a listener. I've been a fan. And as we talked off air, many a time have I been getting ready in the morning, shaving, taking a shower, listening to Morning Air intently, and it's been such a part of my life. I never imagined that I would have to fill big shoes of yours to take over this show, but I'm very appreciative to Father Rocky for the opportunity, and I am so sincere in my sentiments that you've done just an outstanding, outstanding job. You only on the other side of the veil, as Drew Mariani likes to say, right. Will you ever know how many lives you've touched over the last 7+ years? And you know, as I was getting ready to come on here, you talk about the Holy Spirit being the executive producer of the show, which it will continue to be. In fact, I think it's not only executive producer, it's the executive director, producer, screener. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and this is what we're going to honor this weekend. But you know, I can't live without it. There's not a show that I haven't done where I haven't prayed to the Holy Spirit before the program. Every single show, the last couple of years in Espanol, we would always pray to the Holy Spirit. So you know what that's all about. But I just wanted to take a time before we talk about myself. I wanted to just say thank you, John. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for the Relevant Radio family. We truly are a family, and for all the listeners on Morning Air.
Well, you really flatter me with that. I'm just blessed to share this microphone, not only with you, but with great and holy people. I always tell this story about when I was working with my spiritual director after first coming to work here, never dreaming, again, how the Holy Spirit, John, picks you up by the scruff of the neck and puts you in different situations as a listener to Relevant Radio and growing in my faith for 4 years, and then bam, on the other side of Relevant Radio.
You know the feeling.
Exactly. I said, you know, I work with the holiest people in the world, and that's a statement of fact is I don't belong with those guys. And you know, he was explaining that holiness really is goodness, and that really
John,
is at the very foundation of what we have here.
You absolutely belonged, John. You absolutely belonged, and God had you in this position for a reason, for a purpose, and for a mission, and mission accomplished, my friend.
So when we hear Morning Air on Tuesday morning, I know you're going to bring a lot of new and fresh things to the table. What will be a part of the new broadcast?
Well, we're going to continue with many of the wonderful things that you've been doing, many of the familiar voices and some of the guests. But obviously, you know, every host, every personality brings their own unique gifts to the table. We all, you know, you do it different than Drew Mariani or Patrick Madrid. And I will bring some of my passions, as you mentioned in the intro. You know, I come from a sports background. Sports is kind of who I am. I kind of see the world through a sports lens because I believe that sports is a
a metaphor for life, as the late, great, my hero, John Paul II, used to say. And so I see the world through that sports lens. And so we're going to bring back one of my features that I used to do on Morning Air back in the early days when we started with Jeff Cavins, back when I was the sports director, and we used to do sportscasts at the top and bottom of the hour. I always finish with the power scripture from the playbook of life. And why? Mm-hmm. Because I believe that the Word of God, just the Word of God, those words are powerful. They're not just the mere words of human beings. They're the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and they can touch hearts. They can move hearts. And so we want to bring a little nugget of my power scripture from the playbook of life every day with a little short little meditation. So that's one little surprise, one little wrinkle that we'll be bringing to the program at the top every day. And also my love of the Blessed Mother my passion for our faith, which is something that just it comes kind of naturally. But we want to look at everything that's going on in our world through a Catholic perspective, which is the exact same thing that I've been doing for the last 2 years with the Relevant Radio and Espanol Apostolate. I've been hosting an afternoon show for 3 hours, and I had no idea that it was in preparation to come over to the English side, to my first original language, because English is my first language, Spanish right. is my second. But just when I was getting pretty good in Spanish, now I got to start working on the English again, John.
Well, I've had to work on that every day on this radio program. So it's like, that's always been a challenge for me. So you're way ahead of me on that, John.
John, it reminds me of the time I interviewed Pete Rose. He was playing for the Montreal Expos at the time, and he came to Wrigley Field. And the first thing I said to him, we're sitting in the dugout, and I say, "Hey, Pete, Charlie Hustle, how's your French?" And he looks at me, he goes, "My French? I'm still working on my English."
That's great. That's yeah. great. And we should also mention that, and you can probably still get these, you worked on a great film called Champions of Faith, and then also the 40 film, because you've been on with us talking about that as a pro-life champion. But talk about both of those and as very powerful tools for evangelization.
Well, it's interesting. Again, everything is connected. The Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen. I had no idea back during my Morning Air days when I was doing interviews with Mike Ditka and Tommy Lasorda and Mike Piazza and Mike Sweeney, some of these Catholic athletes, that would be the genesis of the inspiration for making the Champions of Faith movie, which took me away from Relevant Radio. That's why one of the reasons I left was to go and pursue that dream of making that documentary, which has touched countless lives around the country. It basically looked at baseball as a metaphor for life, and we looked at all the spiritual and the life lessons that you can learn from the game. And we have 4 Hall of Famers in that movie and about 30 All-Stars. So it's still touching. That movie is still relevant today as it was in the spring of 2007 when it came out. But that wouldn't have happened without Relevant Radio, because I first conducted those interviews with those athletes for Relevant Radio. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the beginning, and then the Spirit led me to produce and create that documentary. And then years later, I was praying at the Adoration Chapel. I know what a great devotion you have to praying in front of our Lord, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I was in the Adoration Chapel at the Women's Center years later, asking the Lord for guidance, and it was like a beam of light that hit me in the middle of prayer after 12 o'clock mass at the Women's Center, the same Women's Center that has saved over 40,000 babies from abortion since it first began. I got this inspiration. Make a movie, make a documentary.
Yeah.
On the issue of life 40 years after Roe v. Wade, because the anniversary was coming up in 2013. And so from that moment on, I remember popping up and grabbing the executive director of the Women's Center, Mary Straub, and saying, "Hey, Mary, you're not going to believe this, but I think the Lord wants me to make a movie on life." And that was the beginning of the journey. And we spent almost 2 years working on that film, going to March for Life to do filming. And I've been to the March for Life many, many, many other times. But this became a passion for me to proclaim, to defend, to speak about life. And part of it is because I am personally post-abortive and also an adoptive father, joyfully mm-hmm. an adoptive father, which also has a Relevant Radio connection, John.
Right, it does. It does, and I'm sure you'll be telling that story. And your son now is 13. And
he's 13. And I look
what's
up
his,
to him.
What's his batting lineup for the Cubs?
Oh my goodness!
In 10 years, he's going to be a pro ball player. I'm not kidding. John's going to call his son's first game.
You know, it's all in the Lord's hands. Little David Eckstein, the MVP of the World Series in my Champions of Faith movie, you put it in the Lord's hands. You know, I know one thing. My son has God-given baseball ability, and I've been helping him from day one. But what most impresses me, it's not his batting average. It's not that he's hitting, you know, 450 in 13U travel baseball. It's that every time he goes up to bat, when he steps up to the plate, he does the sign of the cross.
I love it.
When he takes the pitching mound, he does the sign of the cross. He learned that from Daddy. He got the inspiration from watching Champions of Faith, the movie, seeing the athletes crossing themselves. And in fact, the first time, I'll never forget, the first time he saw the movie when he was just a little boy, he was about 5 years old, and he saw Mike Piazza hitting these prodigious, majestic, long balls, you know, in Yankee Stadium in the World Series. And after the movie, he says, "Dad, can we go to the park? I want to hit like Mike Piazza."
Wow.
And you know what? This kid hits the ball hard, Mike Piazza-like, today at age 13. Yeah. And he's about 3 inches taller than I am, so I look up to my little boy.
What's the speed of his fastball?
Oh, my goodness. He's throwing in the 70s.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's throwing in the 70s. But I'm a baseball dad, so I can relate to a lot of the young dads with the issues of going to mass, you know, and being on these weekend tournaments and you know, so we'll have a lot to talk about, and you know, we'll have a lot of surprises coming up on Morning Air. But John, like I said before, I've got some big shoes to fill with you, my friend.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, and we'll be praying for you, and I know our Relevant Radio family will be praying for you as well, and it'll be very exciting come Tuesday morning, because Monday's the holiday, Tuesday morning, June 1st, at 5 a.m. Central Time, the brand new Morning Air, and that is the host. You've just met him, John Morales, who's a great Catholic pro-life champion. You're going to love him. He, with the Holy Spirit, will guide Relevant Radio and Morning Air to the next level and help you on the path to heaven. John, thank you. God bless you. Where are you playing this weekend? Where's your son playing this weekend?
We have a Memorial Day tournament dedicated to the troops. And in fact, we all need to pray for all the men and women who have given their lives for our country. So it'll be a lot of fun, John. And again, thank you. God bless you. And there's much more down the road, Johnny.
Hey, John, this is Matt Beardsley on behalf of the producers here. You guys talk about things being in the Lord's hand, but during the show when we're on the air, you know it's in the producer's hands. So we want to welcome you on board. And on behalf of the producers during John Harper's tenure, myself, Matt Beardsley, Cyrus Simcoe, and Patrick Alog, we just wanted to talk to you for a couple of minutes, John, just to tell you how much you've meant to us over the years.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And then here's Patrick Alog, who produced the show for a long time here on this last day for me, and of course the first day for John Morales on next Tuesday. Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling in.
Hey, John. Hey, first of all, I just wanted to say it was a blessing working with you for 2 years, from 2018 to 2020. And I always enjoyed our conversations, not just about work, obviously, but just about life in general, about our families, what we're going through each and every day. And there's a lot that goes behind the scenes, but you know, when we just talked about those conversations, you know, I just really enjoy that. Made it much easier, considering I had to wake up early in the morning, especially here in Central Time. But the one thing the last 2 weeks I've been thinking about you, John, is you define the word professional. In the dictionary, professional equals John Harper.
And, oh, my goodness.
You know, that professionalism, you know, is sorely going to be missed. And I'll continue praying for you. I'll pray my rosary for you the next week, John.
Thank you, Patrick.
Blessings to you as well.
I'll pray for you in the Adoration Chapel today. Same thing with you, John Morales. God's blessings. And we'll be listening Tuesday morning. Yeah, Tuesday morning, June 1st, starting at 5 Central for the brand new Morning.
Hey, John, this is Cyrus.
Cyrus, the first producer that I worked with 7 years ago. He's now the producer. You recognize him from the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hey, I want to thank you for being instrumental in my faith journey. And Patrick Alog is absolutely right. You are the most professional person I've ever worked with, and you've made me a better producer. But
thank you.
More importantly, John, you've made me a better person, and I just cannot ever repay you for all the good that you've done in my life. And it's just been an absolute joy knowing you and continuing to know you, I'm going to be praying for you, and please do continue to pray for me, John.
Well, as long as you pay me the $20 every other Thursday when I do your lawn, because that's going to be one of my new things in the interim. So that'll be
checks
fun.
Checks in the mail.
And I was the last one to take over as producer. This is Matt Beardsley, and with echoing everything that Cyrus and Patrick said.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
You know, you made me a better producer, a better person, and, you know, a better broadcaster, and we really appreciate everything, John.
You're sure you're talking to the right guy? But I thank you so much. It's very Patrick, checks thank you, Cyrus. Thank you. And Matt, thank you. John, we'll be listening to you on Tuesday morning here for the new morning air. But right now, we want to take your prayer intentions. That's the most important. We're headed into the Adoration Chapel in a couple of hours, and I want to pray for you today before the Blessed Sacrament. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149 to take your prayer intentions. Coming up next here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Did you know that 12 weeks from conception, a baby can smile?
Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million Memorares. Add your Memorares for life at relevantradio.com.
Hi, this is Archbishop Perez of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Supported by the University of Mary.
2020 turned me into a working mother and a teacher. Watching and helping my kids with their schooling inspired me to continue my own education. When I found the University of Mary's new online degree programs for the Catholic professional, I knew God was calling me.
Advance your career. Strengthen your faith. See what the University of Mary's truly affordable, truly flexible, and truly formative programs have to offer you. CatholicProfessional.life.
Lord, Teach Me to Pray is a proud mission partner of Relevant Radio.
Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the Ignatian Prayer Series, can now train you and others electronically to become facilitators and bring the Ignatian way of prayer to your parish. Come to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and help others do the same. Don't pass up the opportunity to join this work of the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Digital Training.
Kale Clark.
It's an 80s dance party, man.
Oh my goodness, you've got the great tunes today.
I know. You know it's a great show. Whenever Thomas Dolby can somehow be shoehorned into the equation, you know it's going to be a great show.
Yes!
Absolutely, yes! Faith and science are not in opposition to one another, as we know. The creator of the Big Bang Theory was a Catholic priest.
The Kale Clark Show. Afternoons at 5 Central on Relevant Radio.
Ten before the hour. Good morning. Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in just a few moments, but later on this morning we'll be in the Adoration Chapel, and I want to pray for you. I want to take your prayer intentions before the Blessed Sacrament this morning. 888-914-9149 is our number, 888-914-9149. Kathy, we're going to pray for you and your husband dealing with addiction that's affecting the family. Teresa, we're going to pray for your friend who has some issues with the throat. And Sally, we're going to also pray for your aunt, who is about to go into labor, and we're hopeful for a very safe and a safe birth and a very healthy baby. Let's go to Mary in Chicago this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I don't know if I can. I can't punch these things up here for some reason, so I'm going to need you to push the buttons there at that end to see if we can get somebody on the air. Can you just get the hell up there? Hey, Mary, good morning. You're on Morning Air. How may we pray for you?
Good morning, John. My prayer today is in thanksgiving for your life and all the wonderful gifts that you have given us to this
year.
Oh,
thank you. That's so
and
kind
all
of
you. You have taught us about confession and your great sense of humor and everything. Thank you.
Yeah, the power of the sacrament of reconciliation. Boy, I would always ask the Holy Spirit to help me to just live the graces, and that has a prayer that's been answered, and that's what makes that that sacrament so magnetic for me, and I'm hopeful for you. Mary, I'll be praying for you. Thank you so much. 888-914-9149. Helen in California, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Hi, good morning. I'm just praying for health, healing, and for myself and my sister and some family members. And also a safe trip for my daughter. She'll be going on a short trip today.
Okay. What's her first name?
Who?
What's her first name?
Hello?
Your daughter's first name. Okay, we'll be praying for her. Thank you so much, Helen. God bless you. Thanks for listening in California, 888-914-9149 here on Morning Air. I can't get any of these to go on the air for some reason here with my computer this morning. Kathleen, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Good morning. Prayers for the soul of my mom. She just passed away a few minutes ago.
Oh, my. Were you praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I hope?
We were, and she has a large family, 6 sons and myself, and we prayed the rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet yesterday.
That's exactly what I did as I held my mom's hand in her first, in her very last moments, is to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the rosary, because you know from Relevant Radio, and that's something that you and I have in common, Kathleen, is we know the power of the Divine Mercy Chaplet in our lives and the lives of those who are returning home to God. And Kathleen, I'll pray for the repose of the soul of your mom. What's her first name?
It's Mary.
Okay, we'll be praying for the soul of Mary this morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. God bless you. Pat in Arizona, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Good morning, John. I'd like to pray for Jacqueline in Canada, who's suffering from ulcerative colitis. She's the mom of a good friend of mine. Okay. I'd also like prayers for the souls of my husband, who died in July, my daughter-in-law's mom, who died in September, and my stepson's mother that just passed away a month or two ago.
All right.
Surely.
Pray for the repose of all of those souls, Pat, and for Jacqueline as well. Thank you so much, Pat. 888-914-9149, taking your prayer intentions this morning. Carol's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Morning Air.
Hi, John. I just want to say a prayer of thanksgiving for you and all of the lives you have touched. And then I just need to tell you that you were the first person I called to tell of my impending grandchild. When I found out the night before that my son and his wife were expecting, I called. It was a Friday, and I called asking for prayers for a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. And things are going well. And then just asking for prayers for my husband as he searches for a new job.
I'll take that before the St. Joseph altar today for your husband, Carol, and for very safe delivery. God bless you. We'll always be praying. And that's how we're always a family. You may not hear the voice on the radio, but we're always a family praying for each other. And that's the beauty of Relevant Radio, about how it has brought together so many of us right on both sides of the speaker.
Absolutely. And God bless you, John, in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. Thanks. God bless you, Carol. Appreciate that. Let's go to Patty in Brooklyn, New York. Now let's go to Claire in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Patty, you're coming up next. Claire, good morning. How may we pray for you?
Hello?
Hi, Claire. You're on the radio. How may I pray for you?
Oh, hi. I was just calling, John. I wanted to request prayers for a number of friends that asked me to pray for people who are currently getting cancer treatment and suffering from cancer. And I also wanted to pray for my daughter, who's been dealing with chronic GI problems since she was born. And
oh boy.
Thanks. And in Thanksgiving for you, I'm in shock, like I bet some other listeners are. Father Rocky mentioned something last night, but it always goes over my head. I didn't know that this was your last morning. So thank you so much. You helped me with the journey. I started listening before my mother passed, and listening to your mother helped me over the years. Thank you so much.
That's so nice of you, Claire. Claire, I'll be praying for you and all of your intentions.
Can you please still run that trip to Rome with Ashley? So, you know,
what,
that sounded
one of
really
these days.
Fun. And I was really looking forward to
so were Glenn and I. Yeah, one of these days. It's still on the bucket list. It's still on the bucket list, Claire.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much, Claire. We appreciate that. By the way, if you weren't able to get through, relevantradio.com/pray, relevantradio.com/pray. And in addition to remembering you in the Adoration Chapel today, I'll offer Eucharist at Mass today at 12:10 Mass, at Mass tomorrow morning and on Sunday as well. And I share these intentions with Drew and with Father Rocky, so they will be included in today's Divine Mercy Chaplet and tonight's Family Rosary Across America. Our time now is 4 minutes before the hour, and it's time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
As we head toward Memorial Day, our story today called True Friendship. Horror gripped the hearts of the World War I soldier as he saw his lifelong friend fall in battle. Caught in a trench with continuous gunfire whizzing over his head, the soldier asked his lieutenant if he might go out into the no man's land between the trenches to bring his fallen comrade back.
You can go, said the lieutenant, but I don't think it'll be worth it. Your friend is probably dead, and you may throw your life away. The lieutenant's advice didn't matter. The soldier went anyway. Miraculously, he managed to reach his friend, hoist him onto his shoulder, and bring him back to their company's trench. As the two of them tumbled in together to the bottom of the trench, the officer checked the wounded soldier and then looked kindly at his friend. I told you it wouldn't be worth it, he said. Your friend is dead, and you are mortally wounded. It was worth it, though, sir, said the soldier. What do you mean, worth it, responded the lieutenant. Your friend is dead. Yes, sir, the private answered, but it was worth it because when I got to him, he was still alive, and I had the satisfaction of hearing him say, Jim, I knew you'd come. John 15:13, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
That beautiful Glenn Story Corner is a podcast, and you can get that on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. And if you have a story for Glenn, morningair@relevantradio.com is our address. Glenn, it has just been a ball. We've had so much fun teasing each other about the accordion. Of course, you've never heard me play the organ. If you heard me play the organ, you would know that I have absolutely no business making fun of Glenn's accordion playing, and he can really play that instrument. But that's the only thing we didn't do, is to take the accordion when we went into Times Square with $100 to evangelize and to see if anybody knew what the Ten Commandments were.
Well, and that's probably just as well, because I see it's far better to get your picture taken with the Times Square cops than actually be arrested and, you know, your accordion confiscated by them.
Yeah, I don't know if the accordion is a weapon or not. I guess it depends on how you play it. But and nonetheless, Relevant Radio and Morning Air will go to a brand new level. You heard the energy and the enthusiasm and the faith, the holiness of John Morales, the new host. And he will be joining you with the Holy Spirit every day starting Tuesday, June 1st, because Monday's Memorial Day. Tuesday, June 1st at 5 a.m. Central with a brand new edition of Morning Air with Glenn Story Corner. You're still going to be a part of Morning Air, right, Glenn?
Yeah, still be doing the news, still be doing the Story Corner, and, may get to talk a little sports with John as well. He brings a lot of enthusiasm, right. A lot of love for his faith, a lot of love for Chicago and sports as well. And, we're looking forward to that. But it's been, like I said, a blast working with you, John, as the boys have mentioned, our producers. And we want to say hi and thanks to Matt Beardsley as well, moving on to the engineering department for Relevant Radio as well. But thank him for his service.
Absolutely.
On Morning Air as a producer. But, like they mentioned, just your professionalism stands out and is kind of the first thing anyone says one day. Hey, what do you think of John? Oh, man, he's just amazing. So appreciate your good work, sir. And, been a lot of fun. And maybe, you'll have a little more time to work on those organ skills now.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And maybe one of these days we'll go to Rome and meet Ashley Narona. You never know. Thank you so much, Glenn. I'm going to be joining Drew Mariani right after the chaplet this afternoon. He's invited me on the broadcast. Looking forward to talking to you then. And Patrick Madrid coming up next. It's a minute before now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.